Om Namah Shivaya. Dear listeners of Shaivam.org, the next program is Divine Discourse. In this, you are about to listen Highlights of Upanishads. The title is Prashna Upanishads, presented by Swami Jyotirmayananda. Thank you. Om Namah Shivaya.
We are recording from the ashram of our revered Guru Pujya Atman, Sri Swami Jyotirmayananda, in Miami, Florida. Our revered Guru continues with the lecture series on Highlights of the Upanishads. Today is the first lecture on Prashna Upanishad. This is lecture number one. And now, Pujya Atman, Sri Swami Jyotirmayananda.
Om Bhadram Karane Bhishnu Yama Deva Bhadram Pashyemaksha Iryajatra Sirairangai Ushtuvagam Sastanubhi Vyashema Devahitam Yadayu Swastina Indro Vriddhashrava Swastina Hapusha Vishwaveda Swastina Starkshyo Arishtanemi Swastino Brihaspatir Dadhatu Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. This is the peace chant of this Upanishad. Upanishad known as Prashnopanishad. Prashna means question. As your mind advances on the spiritual path, something tickles in your mind. And by question, the tickling bug is removed. Then you become prasanna. From prashna, mind gets questioning, question ends, prasannata develops, mind becomes serene, calm. Here, this type of question here is of profound nature. Here, you are asking questions that relate to your profound spiritual movement. And you may go on asking the same thing again and again in different ways. And the scriptures allow you, rather encourage you to go on asking questions. This general idea is that if you go to a very highly serious religious ashram, you should be humble, so humble that whatever Guru has said, oh, I believe in you, even though your mind has not understood. But in Vedic culture, there is a statement from Yoga Vasishtha. Even the Creator were to say something to you and you have not understood, ask Him. Don't be awed by the idea that it's the Creator who is telling you. Who are you to ask Him? It's not just simple intellectual answer. Your question itself is not ordinary. If the question relates to your understanding of yourself, you're relating yourself to Soham, that am I. The question that's impacting on your mind in three levels, removing mala, gross impurity, Vikshepa, distractions, and Avarana, the veil of ignorance. And you are deeply involved in removing these. I will not lead you to that much, but Om Bhadram Karane Bhiha Srunyama Deva is a peace chant. So the Upanishad belongs to Atharva Veda, and the great sage Pippalada answers to six questions that were asked by his six disciples. So there are six great questions asked by six great aspirants. Questions and answers are designed to give him a profound insight into spiritual movement leading to enlightenment. O gods, this is the meaning of the peace chant. Gods, God is only one. When say gods, we are referring to different aspects of God, different attributes of God. We who invoke God, may we hear what is auspicious with our ears. Let's understand that point. Everyone wants to hear good news. That's auspicious. News of all types. Political news and weather-related news. News of your family, your friends. Good news is always considered auspicious. But if you are advanced, that's suspicious. Because all the news related to transient world, they don't last long. So may we hear what is auspicious. That means may we hear those inspiring teachings that ignite your aspiration for attaining enlightenment. Teachings that are urging your soul to discover its essential nature. Therefore, every teaching that you understand, putting you, enriching you on the spiritual path, with each degree of understanding, you are a different person. You are not going backward, moving forward. If you happen to hear those types of teachings, that's auspicious. You may say, well, who is there to give me those types of teachings? That what? Turn your attention towards your ears. No matter who gives the teachings, you are the listener. If you have that sensitivity in your mind, you will listen and pick up those points that will really touch your and go beyond those points that are not applicable to you. In any teaching, it's given to the whole society. Teaching for children, teaching for bigger people. But instead of condemning all the teaching, pick up what's the responsibility for listening to the auspicious teachings lies with you. In brief, remove the impurities from the ear. It is dramatized in mother worship that Lord Vishnu lies asleep. Brahma, the creator, is being attacked by two demons that ensued from the ears of Lord Vishnu, Madhu and Kaitabha. Brahma is the creator. All his creative movement is attacked by Madhu, honey, Kaitabha, bitter. Honey means raga, that which creates attachment. The other aspect, dvesha, hatred. When your mind picks up a teaching and leaves it at the level of raga dvesha, that is to say, oh, I love this teaching, but you don't go beyond it. Or say, oh, I have heard it many times. I want to go there, somewhere where I can have something better. Not the same teaching only. You are using dvesha as not only in advanced teaching, listening is a great art. Even when you are talking to people around you, your friend, your own relatives, brothers, sisters, listening requires a mind that is not already prejudiced. Now, this reminds me of some story. There were two friends, you see. They grew up in a village. One became a rich merchant, very famous. Another stayed as a farm. With the passage of time, they had become elderly people. And he heard that his friend, rich friend is in the hospital, in the city, and who knows whether we'll survive, so let me go there, meet him. But by this time, with the passage of age, he had developed hard of hearing. Nevertheless, his desire to see his friend for the last time was great. So all the while he was moving towards his friend, he started dramatizing how he will deal with questions and answers. He dramatized, when I go to my friend, and I will say, how happy am I to see you? And the friend will say, likewise, you see. And I will ask him, which doctor is treating you? How blessed is the dog? And so forth. He had already created a question-answer process. He goes to the friend in the hospital and he asks, how are you, my friend? And the friend says, I'm most miserable. How happy am I? This is an exaggerated form of a parable. But that's what happens. In shallow talks, when we're talking with people, everyone has already made up their mind what the answer is. And then, immediately, the person who is seriously suffering thinks, what type of friend? I never thought that he comes all the way to be happy at my misery. Sudden shock enters his mind. Then this man asks next question. Who is the doctor treating you? And the man says, he's already angry and agitated. He said, death. Oh, what a wonderful doctor. He never fails. The man started shouting. The nurses came and separated them. And yet both were friends, and they are friends. But defect in listening. Listening is a tremendous art. Not only listening to others, listen to yourself. Food you have eaten, it's telling you something. Listen. In every exercise you do or everything you do in life, listen. Is it giving you a sense of harmony in your heart? If so, it is, you are on the right track. If not, make some changes. But this process of listening is not simple. You have to go on trying. Many times your listening may not be correct because there is a lot of wax there in the ears. So in the story of mother worship, where Madhu and Kaitabha, two demons, they try to choke Brahma, the creator. Great goddess comes and destroys them. So, Prashna term, questioning, has all these implications. Implication of not having prejudiced notion. To be sensitive and open-hearted towards the teaching. To have qualifications for gaining insight. All that is implied. I will move on because at this rate I will not go any further. So, O gods, may we with our ears hear what is auspicious. May we see what is auspicious with our eyes. Same point arises through every sense within you, because the mind is behind the sense. If mind has a clarity and a divine touch, the eyes, you are seeing birds, etc. Even if you see a bad-faced monkey, you don't think of the ugly face, you think of Hanuman, because you don't have bugs in your eyes. All this I'm taking allegorical way. All the senses can become a source of inspiration for your mind, or they can become a source of stress, anxiety, load, pain. Same word. If you are mentally advancing free of impurities, the world, your senses become more and more sensitive to the glory of God that is hidden behind all things. Behold, consider the lilies, how do they grow? Not this way. May we offer our praise with our bodies, strong of limbs. Offer our praise. May we offer praise of God, creation. Every moment there is an explosion of amazing glory. If you have even slightest idea, it will blow your mind away. Every moment, not once in so many years something happens. Every moment, every day, sunrise. Every day the wind blows. Forests become inspired. Birds tweet. Every day, a new vision can unfold in your heart if you are on the right track. So, we offer our praise. Everything about you is God's grace, your body, your mind, your senses. And more importantly, the potentiality of your free will. You have the choice to tread the path of pleasure and stay whirling in the world process, or move away towards integral yoga, towards a process that integrates your personality. You have that choice. You are not brought into the world just to fulfill some predictions written in some book. All your destiny has not been written down, and that everything will happen the way it has been written down. Many people have that idea. But you are the writer of your destiny. You are the creator of your destiny. Therefore, Sthirairangai, offer your praise, glorify God, but not just by your head. Your heart should be with it. Your hand should be with it. You should have an integral development within yourself. And that's implied by the statement. May we offer our praise with our bodies, strong of limbs. In a very simple understanding, your body should be healthy. A positive mind in a healthy body. But that's a relative statement. Because you cannot have the body always. Your mind has to be superior to your body. And your real health lies in the mind, not in the body. No matter how advanced you are, your body is transient. But while I am saying all this, the central point is that when you practice integral yoga in daily life, or just to say, if you are really practicing yoga or religion in a profound way, then it has always four aspects. How to do your duties, karma yoga. How to purify your sentiments, feelings. Feelings to become so profound that you can glimpse the presence of God in every heart. Everyone is lovable. Soul deep within is a ray of God. Everyone is your family member. So, that's called bhakti. Meditation. In everyday life, bring yoga exercises along pranayama and conclude with meditation, allowing the mind to be focused. Stay focused. That will allow you to develop a vision that is not blurred. The mind does not focus, cannot have a clear vision of life. Your vision is always polluted by your prejudiced notions. So if you are well integrated, the final level of the 4 points is the reasoning, your intellect. The reasoning of your intellect should become intuitional. It should not be limited by your ego. Intellect should understand without being obstructed by ego within you. That understanding becomes a swan. But when it is obstructed, it becomes a crow. And you offer praise to God. In other words, your prayer to God becomes more and more intensive, dynamic, meaningful, as you allow yourself to be integrated. If all these 4 become balanced in you, the love of God expresses through your heart, and you are all praise for God. Pray to God is most of the prayers in the Vedas. 50% goes on praising Him. Rather 90%. 10% you ask what you want. The whole prayer, praising God. So may we offer our praise. May we live in such a way that we become integrated. And that is expressed by with our bodies, strong of limbs. These are the 4 limbs of your body, which has 3 aspects, physical, astral, causal. Thus enjoy life for pleasing God. Not for pleasing people, not pleasing even yourself, at ego level. Not pleasing for anything, because that's not the purpose of life. That doesn't mean you go on creating bitterness. The idea is, you do exist to harmonize with people, to share your goodness. But while doing that, do not be duped. That this is the highest level of reality. Highest level of reality is you're being attuned to God within you. And highest way of sharing what you have with others, to enable them, to urge them, to inspire them to be attuned to God. You end up with God listening to the praises of God. That type of praise you offer. Sarve bhavantu sukhinah, may all be happy, and so forth. If that type of heart is developing within you, then your life is nothing but enjoyment. Enjoy life. May Indra, with all pervasive fame, bestow on us auspiciousness. Again, the prayer is not one person's prayer, it's a collective prayer. Peace chant is collective. May all of us offer this prayer to God. May Indra. Indra plays in the Vedic scripture. In early times, the term Indra meant same as Brahman the Absolute, one who is the ruler of the senses. Later, with the evolution of writings and for clarifying certain points to human mind, Indra is described as celestial lord, who is the giver of kingdom of heaven, not the biblical kingdom of heaven. Kingdom of heaven, there is a, after death, a state of intense enjoyment. And afterwards, when you exhaust your meritorious karma, you come back. So Indra goes on looking after your good karmas and giving you the fruits of your good karmas. If you don't want to have the fruits of good karmas, Indra gets angry with you. So scripture dramatizes anyone who is developing this passion towards the pleasures of the world. Indra as if comes and he tries to obstruct, as if he is jealous. But Indra plays the role of an examiner, just like in schools and colleges. Teacher has been lovingly giving you all teachings, but one day there comes a time of giving you a test. Now he puts on a big eyeglasses, looks fierce, walks around when you write your examination paper. Is he jealous? No. Okay. Scriptural writings are allegorical writings. Indra plays that role. If you are highly advanced, you do not come under the clutches of the pleasures of the world. Indra level means your mind can go very high, but will not transcend the world. The world of birth and death, that's where you will tumble again and again. And to majority of people, that's what seems very practical. You have been miserable, poor, you want to be rich. If not in this life, next life. And this seems quite meaningful, but that's not real. So, we are going to further detail. May that Indra, the seer, the hearer, the feeler within me, the source of all the senses, with all pervasive fame, the whole world is reciting the fame of God. May he bestow on us auspiciousness, prosperity, material prosperity is very little, but it will come automatically. Real prosperity is Daivi Sampat, divine qualities that you develop within your heart, the virtue of patience, endurance, humility, tenacity, performing your duties with skill. Countless virtues are there. As you go on developing them, that becomes your prosperity. A profounder prosperity that goes with you even after your death. Other type of prosperity simply laughs at you. You collected the prosperity in the form of jewels, necklaces, bracelets and so many. They all stay scattered and you have kicked the bucket. They are laughing. Therefore, don't keep your mind too involved with this material aspect. Yes, attend to the material aspect, but with that detached. This is not your goal. Goal is how much you are developing the divine qualities within you. And the opportunity to develop those qualities is at every moment with you. So may that Indra inspire us that we develop divine qualities.